around for the big picture coming up next. Hope you're on the film, Medford.
When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me love and consolation, you give me hope to carry on, and you're always there to lend a hand in heaven. When you smile, the world is brighter. You touch my hand and I'm a king. Your love to me is worth a fortune. Your love for me is everything. I guess I'll never know the reason why you love me as you do. That's the
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, and a very, very special guest are here tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. Dial those numbers. Be a part of the show. No Jethro Tull requests, please. It is our annual wrap-up of the year that was. And to help us celebrate the year that was, we have a ghost of Christmas past. Shay Spillane is with us in the studio tonight.
Oh, it's so good to be talking to all of you again. Please, pardon my laryngitis. This was Santa Claus's present to me for coming back to New England.
I believe the...
Did you forget that it's cold here?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're in sunny California.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny, actually. My niece on Christmas Eve gives me a big smooch on the mouth and then goes, Auntie Shay, Mama says I shouldn't give kisses because I have a cold, but our kiss is the
fun.
Best. And I was like, you're so cute, I can't slap you.
Aren't kisses fun?
But no, I'm actually thinking of quitting comedy to become a phone sex operator, so I'll be talking to Derek in like 2 days.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great. as I get my post-holiday freak on. Lisa Nichols is here, of course. We had a lovely,
lovely, lovely.
We made it.
We had a lovely time together on New Year's Eve.
We did. We spent it together.
over at the Big Picture House.
Yes.
Which is where we are. It has the big...
A rowdy game of Cards Against Humanity, one of my favorites.
Oh, goodness. I'm so sad I missed out on that.
It has the big picture window in the back. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
we had a really, really great time. And again, thank you so much for having my boyfriend and I over.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Lisa has a boyfriend.
Yes, she does.
You're supposed to hide that when you're on the radio.
Yes, she does.
Make the men wonder.
Oh, she's still available. Don't make any mistake about that. Just as I am.
Just to you.
Totally available.
All married men are available.
Yes,
I think that's the rule.
Especially to our co-hosts and guest co-hosts. every year, for as long as the whole truth of the big picture has been on the air, we have wrapped up the year not with a best of, but with a worst of.
Yes, because, you know, we are very snarky on this show.
This is not a praising situation.
You know, we like to tell you that maybe your year wasn't so great.
Yeah.
But this year, because everybody's year was so bad.
Yeah, the raging dumpster fire that was 2016.
You know, and Shay knows with doing the news, it's generally in the summertime really difficult to pull stories.
Oh, absolutely.
We had no trouble this summer, actually.
I mean,
it was the summer of blood.
It was one of those years where I was like, is this just the universe playing a prank on us? Like, this is, if so, touche. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
You know, this reminds me. I think the last time Shay Spillane was on the show, or Shay Spillane's voice was on the show.
My actual voice.
It was the 10th anniversary special where we played the newscast.
It was.
After she had fallen and broken her teeth.
Our longtime listeners have, I think, a really misinterpretation of you.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was gap tooth.
I was going to say, well, what's fun is this is the problem with radio is look how pretty these new teeth are.
They're gorgeous.
I mean, $4,000 sure gets you a lot, kids.
And you lost your Cindy Brady lisp, so, you know.
Oh, well, I replaced it with a slut raspy voice.
That's good.
So here we go.
That's good. You're gonna be over at the Roadhouse later tonight, drinking some shots of whiskey and fighting the guys.
Of course.
Don't listen to Derek. I'm going to tell you.
I almost never do.
Ginger, lemon, and honey.
That's what I've been hot toddying and green tea and honeying for like the last 4 days.
I wouldn't do the green tea. It has caffeine in it. Not good for raspy.
Yeah.
Oh, but mama likes a pep.
There you go. and then I don't know if you heard this or not, but you helped me win a round in the Christmas battle this year.
I heard.
Lisa Nichols.
I did listen to some of the show. We were talking about on one of the shows, because we've been off for 2 weeks. I've been off.
Yeah.
I took off the Christmas show this year. So leading up to...
Wait, so did Derek just like sit and cry and to
pretty much.
Eggnog
yes.
the whole time.
That's why we had to be reunited on New Year's Eve.
I hold a picture of Lisa while I cry.
Just sobbing, just covered in tears. We were talking about the laser light. People are having on their side of their homes in lieu of hanging.
Oh my God, that was the worst. As I was driving.
Rant. Really.
3 minutes.
Oh, you hate it too?
Long
rant. 3 minutes of ranting about the lasers.
Mm. Oh no, as my brother and his girlfriend and I were taking an Uber to our family Christmas party, we were, driving through the streets like Braintree, Massachusetts, just being like, that's cool, that sucks, cool, that sucks. And the laser ones, first of all, so lazy. Second of all, I'm like, doesn't it disrupt your life? Because the windows, blinds are up. Like the blinds are up. Doesn't it feel like you're in an ecstasy party or Molly? I'm sorry, I'm old. A Molly party, like every room of your house that's front facing.
Derek bashed on the large candlesticks as well. That got some abuse people put.
Yeah, well, he's a man. Yeah.
He's a man.
It was the candy canes.
I'm going to say he's a man. He can't appreciate a large candy cane.
No, I can't. I got no use for him. I really don't. Anyway, because 2016 was such a dumpster fire, we're changing things up and we're doing the best of this year. Trying to find things that were highlights of 2016. That maybe we can feel good about, or maybe not.
Because that is what the show is all about. Feel good.
Happiness and joy.
We never tell you anything bad that's going on in the world, and everything's going to be all right.
As the case may be. And we'll kick this off. We'll kick this off. Shay gets a pass on this one because she was out in Los Angeles, unless you get a good the LA story for us.
Oh, no, nothing happens there except plastic surgery. I'm sorry.
Yeah. With the best local calamity, because this is our best of this year. Lisa Nichols, what was your pick for the best local calamity?
That would be IndyCar Boston.
Oh, we have the same one.
Oh my goodness. So, Explain.
Yeah, well, we had many arguments on the show. Me working in the Seaport, I was semi on board with it. So IndyCar decided for 3 days of fun, Labor Day weekend, yeah, in the Seaport. Now, I don't know if you've been recently to the Seaport, and thinking back from maybe the last time, because you used to hang out a lot in South Boston.
I would say I went to Laugh Boston recently, but that's...
It's completely different.
I would say there's so much construction going on. Exactly. I have to...
One of the biggest things is how many high-rises and apartment complexes there are now. So weaving in and out of the street, they wanted to put high-speed Indy cars... For Formula One
racing.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that adorable?
This was the follow-up to the failed Boston 2024 Olympic bid.
You know, if there's one lesson that Boston should have learned, it was from the failed Olympic bid, that large citywide votes, or maybe some sort of input from the citizens, from the people of the community, you know, the ones that pay the taxes, you might want to find out what they feel about it.
Citizens would have said no.
Yeah, they usually, were not happy. Usually people not like to know what they're happy. Paying for.
Yeah, the citizens absolutely would have said no. So after Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, who got into office on the back of a very strong union vote, failed to make the Olympics happen, this was the next best thing. We're going to have a Grand Prix in Boston. We're going to have it Labor Day weekend. We're going to shut down a section of the city during college move-in weekend because that's a great idea.
There's only one way to get in and out of the Seaport also.
I was saying, kind of playing it fast and loose with the term next best thing, D.
And we're going to pay for it with taxpayer money.
Yes.
Just so that we can make sure the union guys get a nice full weekend of overtime.
Now, we were talking
about what this is about.
Months of negotiations going back and forth between Indy Boston and the city of Boston. There were so many things that came up. One of the things was near some wildlife reserve, and they wanted to build some of the tracks over the swamps, not having it. All of a sudden, we found out they're backing out.
Yeah.
Nope. So what about, you know, all the thousands of people that made plans in the hotels, made reservations, bought tickets? They're not getting their money back. Why? Because Indy Boston claimed Chapter 11.
Ah, bunch of jerks.
Yep.
Plus, it's funny, having been away for so long that I had no idea about this, but it, having grown up here, it reminds me very much of our good old friend, the Big Dig, when they were like, yeah, this is going to take like 2 years and cost like 50 grand.
Yeah.
It ends up taking like 2 decades and costing like $5 million.
A billion missing dollars later, the thing is finally finished. Yeah.
Though, I mean, that Zakin Bridge is so beautiful that you can't really hold it against Boston.
Part of the reason this thing...
It looks like the Titanic before it went down.
Part of the reason this thing got shut down is because every state and city agency with an interest in the Seaport, which is apparently all of them, came crawling out of the woodwork to try and get their pound of flesh out of the organizers. And they were all lined up with their hands out. And the organizers finally said, that's it. We can't do it. You want private funding now. We got everybody with their hands out. Forget it. We're out of here.
Your prom queen and all the dudes want to bang you.
The practical upshot of the whole thing is they wound up with a bankruptcy auction, and some guy from Newton bought a Formula One race car with no engine for $7,000. That is, and somebody got a bunch of concrete barriers for $6,000. That is the legacy of Grand Prix Boston.
Yeah.
Put a fork in it, it's done.
Shocking. But again, and we were talking about it so many times on this show, we try to have these really great big events in Boston. And of course, there's so many people that try to get, as you just said, get their hand in on what's going on, that these, you know, events just back out and say, you know what? It's not worth it.
But was there anybody in Boston that was sitting around saying, man, I really wish we had some Formula One racing here?
I actually know a lot of people that were going to get tickets or had already made plans for it. Especially, like I said, working in the seaport, I know a lot of the developers. So they had put in extra plans.
Well, of course, they're going to.
But that's what I was about to say is, I mean, I was born and raised in Quincy, and I mean this in the most loving way. We're trashy folk, and we're into some trashy stuff. But I cannot picture anyone I grew up with, like, or I hung out with in high school, being like, "Yeah, Formula One racing. I'm super pumped for that."
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Especially having a ticket was for the novelty of it,
for the being like, "Get a load of me." Like, yeah. But still, it's
We're not.
I can't believe I'm not sad. I missed that.
The one good thing I can say about all of this is, by and large, with everything else that went wrong around the world this year, we didn't have any like major tragedies in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't.
That's true. I mean, I've been keeping track.
Yeah, there were some workplace accidents, and there were some murders, and there were some unfortunate things that happened. But there wasn't anything like the marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything like all the kids dying in DYS custody.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, it was, you know, business as usual with the MBTA being shut down and not working. Because, you know, it's not just in the winter now here in Boston. It's also in the fall when leaves apparently go on the tracks. The MBTA doesn't run again.
Oh, so that's that adorable?
Yes. So that's just normal. But, I mean, compared to the end of the year last year and talking about DYS and there was so much government corruption. I don't know if it has anything to do with Charlie Baker coming in and attempting to clean some house in the state of Massachusetts. But yeah, Derek, I agree. It's not too bad here.
No, we actually...
weed is legal.
Yeah, I was saying,
if there's one thing to right be in the studio, happy about...
That'll be the number
which,
one.
What
happens when you move?
I worked for MassCan for 3 years, and... I remember sitting in my apartment in L.A. and hearing that weed was legalized here, and I was just like, "We did it, guys!"
By the way, mad
like
props.
Smoking a bowl.
Yeah, I was just like, "I've been doing this legally for 2 years, but I'm so glad you guys can too."
Mad props to your peeps out there on the West Coast who, on New Year's Day, altered the Hollywood sign.
Oh my God!
It read Hollyweed.
I didn't see that.
And let me tell you. From experience, that is a feat. I've hiked up to the Hollywood sign, and there was an actress back in like the 20s or 30s who killed herself by jumping off the H.
Black Dahlia.
And
Dahlia. That was somebody else.
Peggy Entwistle
yes.
was her name. But after that, they were like, oh, we got to put security. So there are like barbed wire electrified fences around the Hollywood sign. I had a friend who tried to get over to just climb up to the H where the woman killed herself and got caught immediately by the police and arrested. The fact that this dude not only got over these like huge barriers, but did that is, when I saw it, I posted on Facebook being like, whoever you are, be my new best friend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You will replace marijuana as my new best friend.
Of course, if he was going to be accurate about it, he would have changed it to say Holly Meth. But anyway...
Gotta get with the times, Jeff.
Yeah. Next category.
I gotta catch up, kids.
Best, because this is the best of 2016.
Of course.
Remember, best national disgrace. And there were a few ways I could have gone with this. You had the Baltimore riots. Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Pulse nightclub shooting. I think we're still reeling from that one. 5 cops killed in that assault in Dallas. Pretty bad. All of this. But for my money... nothing as bad, because ultimately these are, you know, while they leave a lifetime of scars for the people involved, these are temporary tragedies. Nothing is as bad as the spread of the Zika virus into Puerto Rico, where it's pretty much become endemic now, and Miami, Florida, where, make no mistake, it will be back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see it in other parts of the Gulf Coast in 2017. Why? Because Congress couldn't get their act together, because nobody's paying any attention to any. You know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, we got to pay for Zika. Oh, we don't have any money for that. Oh, I hate the Republicans. Oh, I hate the Democrats. Meanwhile, we have a disease with the real possibility of altering the socio-political landscape of the United States gaining a foothold on our southern coast. That's bad.
Well, especially because, as you were saying, just everyone's too preoccupied with everything else and won't grasp how big a deal it is.
Well,
they're like it's not affecting me, so who cares?
When it was first being mentioned in mainstream media that people were understanding what actually Zika was, you were hearing that kind of like buzzword and understanding, well, it's just in South America, it's in Brazil. Yeah, there's no way
so
it's going to come up here.
From this, whatever.
What did I say last spring?
Until it starts moving up through South America into Central America, and then we see this outbreak coming out of Miami. I think it was the Wynwood neighborhood area in Miami.
The art colony.
Which basically was shut down, and you had people, how many people I know, and your wife being one, who altered their travel arrangements just because of they're in that time of they could possibly be having a child. So many millions of dollars were lost with the tourist season, whether you're talking about in the Gulf Coast, down into Miami, and even Disney. I recently went to Disney in October, and there was not an entrance where you didn't see any sort of Osprey or some sort of lotion put on yourself, and you were seeing it in the hotel rooms.
Wow, that's insane.
Did they also have the warning alligator signs up at Disney?
No, there were big fake rocks.
Because now you can get...
I was gonna say, I love that you knock on them, and they're actually made of foam.
Disney, now you can get rocks. Zika... and eaten by an alligator. I mean, those are things you can't get on just any vacation.
But you're completely right, Derek, when you talk about how Congress couldn't get their act together. We had all this money left over that was allotted for Ebola. So many times, they went into Congress and saying, we want this money to be now allotted to Zika. But of course, Republicans, 90% of the time, attach some little thing on the bottom of the bill that didn't allow it, that was like, oh, you know, we don't like the colored people or something like that. Yeah. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Then everybody's like, wait a minute.
Right. Here's a funding bill. Oh, let me put this rider on here. No abortions for anybody. And it gets voted
down. It's
just
in like well, 2 inch.
Oh, yeah, ladies, get your abortions immediately. You need to, like, right now. I also feel as though because it was an election year, Congress in general was kind of just like, we'll just like push this stuff off. It's like, we can do something right now, but it's all going to change next year. So who cares? Everything was so brushed under the rug.
That's part of the problem. But the other part of the problem is everybody's sitting around. I sat here in the spring and said it was coming to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I actually predicted it was going to be all over the Gulf Coast. So I was wrong about that. But it got established in Florida for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I say at the time? Man has a zero success rate at fighting the mosquito.
That's very true.
This is where you need some serious outside-of-the-box thinking.
I think you actually said that like 3 years ago when I was the co-host of the show.
Probably.
Man has no chance.
Derek has always instilled the fear of the mosquito.
I do not like the mosquito. But we have a zero success rate at eradicating the mosquito.
Word.
And instead of the CDC and the National Institutes of Health, like calling up professors and being like, anybody got any ideas for how we can stop this? Or let's go put a lot of money into a vaccine. They spend the whole summer fighting with Congress.
Mm-hmm. But again, you said it perfectly one show and saying the only way that Congress is really going to step up their game or people are going to wake up in Washington is when the white people are affected, the white rich people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because essentially what we have in majority of these neighborhoods in Miami, it's very diverse. It's very poor.
Yeah.
Same thing that's happening in the Gulf Coast. I mean, do you think that Congress is going to be all up in arms when it's getting into Biloxi, Mississippi or Galveston, Texas?
Yeah.
No.
No.
But the minute it hits Evanston, Illinois, all of a sudden they'll get very concerned.
And the thing about it is it hit one of these little hippie art communes, you know, one of these little hippie art colonies, you know, reclaimed industrial space. And there's a bunch of semi-homeless people living down there. I know nobody gives a damn about them. The only rich people you have in Florida are in Delray, and they're all past childbearing age. So nobody cares.
Yeah, so it's like, they're about to die anyway, whatever. Yeah.
Let's get some Zika inside the Beltway and see how fast they do something about it.
All right, for best national disgrace, I had to go with election 2016.
What? This was a fine election.
Oh, I was just going to straight up say Donald Trump.
I don't know. I don't know how you could have any kind of a problem with this election.
I couldn't choose just my side and say everything that was wrong with the Democratic Party, specifically Hillary Clinton, because there was a lot going wrong on my side. But, you know, I could go into so many reasons why this was so bad, and it went on for so long.
Was it the great candidates or the great media coverage that impressed you the most about this year's election?
That's the thing, though, is I know, Derek, that you supposedly like that man.
I never said that. I voted for McMullen.
Allegedly.
I made that clear.
Okay, well, good. But, it's funny because I would...
vote Trump.
I would post things on Facebook against Trump, and the immediate reaction to my saying that with people being like, oh, I'm sorry, he's not your hero, Hillary Clinton. I'm like, I never said Hillary Clinton was my hero. Don't really like her either. Yeah. I was going Bernie.
I was a Bernie supporter as well.
I was going to say, Bernie, like, I wore my Bernie t-shirt like every day for 6 months.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can go into so many things, you know, low turnout, especially in the Democrat primaries, media bias, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, so many names that are just horrible people involved in the campaign, violence at Trump rallies. It was a lack of substance, I believe, most of the election, most of the, any of the primary debates, any of the main debates.
It was a media circus.
But it was a lack of focus on policy. And so many questions that we were sitting on the show and asking, why aren't these being asked by the moderators?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, you know, like romper room going on, and it's finger pointing, name calling. It was unbelievable to watch.
That's the thing, is that all of the debates felt like watching a reality show. And this election in general felt very much like the Gore GWB election, where South Park made an episode where I can't fully illustrate it on the radio, but where you have to choose between
a giant douche and a turd sandwich.
Okay, I'm allowed to say that on the radio.
Yes.
The douche word was what I was worried about. But yeah, like, it felt exactly the same in this election. I was like, who do I hate less?
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, it definitely, I feel it insulted and embarrassed us personally.
The rest of the world thinks we're so dumb. Like, I went to Ireland in May, and they just looked at me like, what are you guys doing over there?
No, just to stop and be like, I'm embarrassed. Yeah. I'm embarrassed
for this
country.
All I could say was, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I know, I'm sorry. Like, that's all you can say.
You were going to vote for Ted Cruz, so...
I had my moments.
Yeah.
You have to understand,
I vote for Ralph Nader every year.
I spent all of last fall and winter going to almost every single one of the Republican, which was a lot, a good chunk of them. I went to all of their rallies, everything from a Ted Cruz Second Amendment gun rally in New Hampshire. I went to a Trump rally. I've seen it all. There were a lot of things that I liked about certain candidates.
I'm having a lot of trouble not punching you in the boob now.
No, absolutely. And again, I've said it so many times on the show, and I'm lucky that I still have friends.
my brother's a Trump supporter, so.
November, but also I've been called every name possible in the book for what I believe in.
Well, and that...
You're a self-hating woman who votes against her own interests.
No, but that,
exactly.
I think is the failure, and is actually why Trump won, is because there were too many staunch liberals attacking people for expressing the very right that we as Americans have.
That's a major reason why I chose it as my biggest national disgrace, because it put Americans against each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a climate where we are in a situation in America right now where race relations are so bad, and then we get into this election where it is just pinning Americans versus Americans, you know, who you're voting for, why you're voting for them, and you're stupid either way. You're stupid for voting for a criminal. You're stupid voting for a racist, bigot, xenophobe.
Yeah, no matter what you choose, there are so many people that hate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the fundamental right we have as Americans to look at the facts and choose who we'd like to vote for and not have to apologize for it. And it was a combination, like, this whole year was everyone attacking and apologizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people that were calling out people were were not being able to take it themselves.
And didn't know what the hell they were talking about. Yeah. I can say hell on the radio.
Yes. On the plus side. On the plus side, our friends on the left have now discovered the many joys of gun ownership, which is a big win for the Second Amendment all the way around. You're not one of these Donald Trump is going to ruin the world liberal nut jobs.
No,
you've got perspective. I know that.
Yes, I'm an intelligent human being.
Yes.
So obviously, like, people are like, oh my God, the world's going to end because Donald Trump.
I'm sure there was a lot of that out in California.
The same thing happened when GWB got elected the first time and the second time.
Yeah.
Where everyone's like, oh my God, the world's going to end. It kept spinning. Everything kept going on. Yeah, some things got annoying. I am a little bit worried about my health insurance. I will say that. But ultimately, I don't think our day-to-day lives are going to change very much.
Unless you're in the country illegally, in which case your daily life is going to change drastically.
I live in Southern California. The guy that works in my bodega is terrified.
Yeah.
The problem I have with Trump getting elected, though, has nothing to do with the policy that is going to take place and whatnot. It's the fact that because I'm very good friends with the Mexican guy that works in my bodega, and because I am a woman and a woman who speaks her mind. The fact that he got elected, what that represents really bothers me. The fact that a man who was saying, get rid of my family was immigrants 2 generations ago. The fact that he put forth this idea of like America and like all of like the things that the people on the redneck comedy tour are like satirizing. He got elected off of.
That's
terrifying.
You mean Law and Order? Because that's what he's talking about.
We're talking about, and everybody's like, oh, you know, your best buddy that works at the bodega, he's here illegally. That's why
there's no but.
The United States has laws. We have laws, and we talk about like your family coming over, and my family came over as immigrants, but we became citizens. There is a right path to do it, and unfortunately, in this country, it's very easy to take advantage of many things that this country offers when you are here illegally.
Very true, but. Oh, God, I'm talking to two conservatives. The reason I come from a very specific perspective is my family came over during the Irish potato famine, and they tried to go through Ellis Island and get rejected because they had an Irish last name. They had to go back to Ireland and try to come back again and went through East Boston and got accepted.
No, and again, and I don't think we can completely compare.
Yeah,
Irish at that point.
Well,
at the populace.
How you like
back
your potatoes,
then,
Gary?
And how many hundreds of thousands of people that are coming into this country now illegally?
But
were
on top of that, though,
people coming into the country back then? No.
On top of that, though, like as coming specifically as somebody who lives in Southern California, there are probably millions of illegal immigrants where I am.
You are going to have so much parking in a year. So much parking.
No, especially once
the big one hits.
Yeah.
There are many people that I know that are very, very, very hard workers and have come to this country illegally to make better for their family.
Let me put this in perspective, okay? Because everybody, and this occurred to me the other day, is that everybody is completely wrong on this issue. Whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, you are completely wrong on this issue, okay? You shouldn't be angry at immigrants.
Because we're all immigrants except for the Native Americans.
Okay, if you're on the right, you shouldn't be angry at immigrants who are just trying to come to this country and get away from whatever hell is going on back home.
Precisely.
You shouldn't be angry at Donald Trump for wanting to enforce the laws of the United States of America, which a large number of conservatives and a large number of moderates and even a large number of people on the left have been saying needs to happen.
Well, it's a...
Who you should be angry at, who we all should be angry at...
The Mexicans.
...are the politicians...
I was kidding, guys.
The politicians, particularly politicians on the left, but there are people on the right who are responsible as well. The politicians who allowed this to happen, who said to these people, if you come into this country, we're not going to do anything. Here's a driver's license. Here's a place to live. Hey, maybe we'll give you the right to vote. They're the ones we should be angry at because they're the ones that willfully broke the law of the United States, told people they could come into this country and they'd be okay. People came here and took advantage of it.
Essentially aided and embedded in...
And those politicians were making a promise that they could not keep.
But with that,
they never changed the law.
But those politicians did it to get the vote.
Yes.
Because why? Make good with the illegals and you'll get the vote.
They never changed the law. They just said, everybody come on in. And now we got a change in leadership. It ain't Trump's fault. It ain't the fault of the people who voted for him. It's the people who looked the other way and encouraged this.
But with that in mind, yes, I totally agree with you. There are people looking the other way and just letting people into the country illegally. And that is wrong. But... it's a matter of shift. So, okay, Trump got elected, I guess.
Yes. In a lot of states that weren't the one you live in.
But, right. I was going to say, there was this big red blob in the middle of the country.
You guys are free to secede. That. We're done with you. Get out.
Yeah,
Oregon with you.
California. Oh, I'll take Washington, too. We can be our own country. We'll be like, we'll call ourselves the cool United States.
I don't know that I'm done with Washington yet. You may still want them.
New York City, you can come with us.
You can have Oregon.
Chicago, too. Anyways.
Oh, you're more than welcome to Chicago.
Oh, don't you talk about Chicago. Anyways, but my point being that, so, okay, that's very true. But it's much like if there was a guy who ordered steak every single night and then suddenly was like, no, I'm a vegetarian the next day. You can't just say, no, I'm a vegetarian. Maybe switch to chicken and fish for a little while and then gradually go to tofu. Like, you can't just be like, okay, we're letting all these immigrants in. We're kicking them all out, even though they've been stimulating our economy. They've been giving us super cheap labor. I hate to say it, but I mean, you want to do the jobs that all the Mexican people living where I live do? I don't think so. Oh, I'm sorry. For the wages they do it for? I don't think so. Like, you can't just...
But it's not been like, a slippery slope and where know, our economy has gotten to that
but
point.
But it's not like flipping a light switch. You can't just flip a light switch and say, okay, this now.
I don't think the expectation is that we're going to flip a light switch, but I think the message has been sent.
But that's the message. I would say that's the message that Trump gives. Is like, we're building a wall.
No, I mean,
we're pulling everyone out. No more Muslims. No more Mexicans.
Here's the thing. You know what there is.
You can just do
throughout
that.
The election, he did back that and say... there is going to be a process in doing
that.
It.
Was
it's the
cute,
same
right?
thing I'm saying.
I liked,
you know, no,
it was like going
Muslims
backwards
should be
up
allowed.
A hill on your bicycle.
No
all
Muslims
he did.
Should be allowed in the country. What he was saying was, we don't know who is coming into our country.
Right.
You had the head of Homeland Security saying, who knows? We don't know.
But
it was very misconstrued and misinterpreted a lot of times. Did he initially say, yes, I'm going to build a wall? Yes, from now on, and now his
plans are... He's getting the estimates on the wall right now.
Nonetheless, this was him the entire time. He said these things and thought he was so cool, which is why my brother supports me. He's like... oh, he says everything that nobody wants to say. And I'm like, because no one should say those things.
No, there are millions of Americans who are saying those things.
But
millions of Americans.
But not on national television, on CNN.
There are enough people who back that perspective to put him in the White House.
But there were...
Okay. So ask yourself who's really in the minority here. And you're going to find out that the people who are open borders, let the immigrants come, are actually the ones who are in the minority in the United States.
No, I'm not saying open the borders, let the immigrants come. What I'm saying is that, first of all, because I was a Bernie supporter, and I hate this, a lot of people that were like me, because they didn't like Hillary, voted for Trump. And that's why, if you look at the numbers in California as a perfect example, while Hillary won in California, there were a good amount of votes for Trump. And they weren't people that were like, I've loved this guy from the beginning. There were it was contrarians. It was people being like, I don't like this chick, so screw her. I'm going
to
vote for this guy.
Red state, California.
WMFO Medford.
Reliable.
You can tune in at WMFO Morgue. I can't even say it right now because I'm so angry.
No, I mean, but this is a conversation that we can have for hours and hours about the election.
This is a conversation we'll be having for the next six months
exactly.
in this country.
Yes. And we've talked much over the past year about every possible angle
I haven't been
of
here,
this election.
No,
it's nice to get a different perspective.
My point being, I don't think Trump's going to ruin our country.
No.
I don't think any president is capable of ruining our country.
I don't know. Jimmy Carter, man. Jimmy Carter.
But he grew such great peanuts.
Malaise forever.
but it's, like I said before, it's what it represents to me and to the rest of the world. The rest of, like, the as much as as you know, as he went on, okay, he backed off from the wall thing and clarified. He backed off from the Muslim thing and clarified. Anyone can be a terrorist. Anyone can whatever. It's like, I could be a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. People of WMFO, I'm not a terrorist.
There are men who would disagree with that statement.
I mean, I'm a laughter terrorist.
You're an emotional terrorist.
I'm an emotional terrorist. But it's a matter of so much has to do with the worldview, has to do with the international politics of everything. And the rest of the world is looking at us right now, regardless of if he's clarified what he said, regardless of any of that. The rest of the world is looking at us right now like, guys, what are you doing? Like, it.
Yeah, but a lot of the rest of the world is also being run by
dummies,
out of touch elitist socialists. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we don't have to fall in line. I mean,
who are being thrown out of office by their own people.
We have to do our best to not bomb each other.
No, I don't think anybody's in a mood to bomb each other. That's bad for business. But, you know, listen. The United States is going to be run like a corporation with a very aggressive security force. Is probably, well, you look at that cabinet and it's all billionaires and old generals.
Yep.
And they're all angry and they don't take any crap from anybody. And this is bad news if you're China.
Mm-hmm. And you hear the people singing the songs
I've been,
of angry men.
Squirming a little bit and questioning some of the choices for Trump's cabinet. But I'm hopeful. I just keep reminding myself that I'm
this year has
hopeful.
Felt like a reality show.
Yeah.
What do you have for...
I'm waiting for Flava Flav to be elected to something.
Did you have the election that was yours?
Yes. I had Trump.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, best international tragedy. I had the Syrian refugee crisis.
Aleppo. Call it by its proper name, yes. Aleppo. You'll be seeing that in history books for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody wondering how we got to this point, you have one of the worst civil wars going on in Syria right now. So, you have people that were giving money and bribing to get on overcrowded boats, buses, trains. People were going from the Mideast to, you know, everywhere from Italy, Greece, saw people going in, Croatia, so many of these countries in the bottom of Europe moving in. Some countries more than others laid out their welcome mat. I think Germany probably laid out their welcome mat the most. United States offered to, 10,000 taken refugees, which is very, very small amount that's going through. These people are leaving a situation where it is, I mean, not only the economics of the area, but also a little thing called ISIS.
There's nothing left there.
I would say that's, mine was Brussels and just ISIS in general.
Yeah. People are trying to stay alive. And the way that they were doing that, they were moving into the European Union. And it got to the point, and I believe it was, you know, really nobody was doing anything. And we said so many times, where is the United States on this? Why are we not involved in this? And especially where, and I say it so many times, when we create a situation, when we create something that happens, that which created the refugee crisis, we should be responsible and take everybody in.
Oh, we don't want to get involved in the internal politics of the Syrian people and the wars that are taking, you know.
What happened was we started the Arab Spring. That was the first match that started the chain of events for this now to happen. So you have also terrorists that were trying to stream in to the migrant wave, and that's how many of them got into many of these countries. Also got into this country.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I feel like that's always the double-edged sword with the United States in general, which is that a lot of times I'm like, why are you guys getting involved? Like, because it's always a matter of, we get involved in things. And I say we loosely because we don't decide. Like, when I lived in Europe, my best friend there, who stopped being such a good friend after this. But she, I said to her, I was like, it's really difficult to live in Europe as an American because everyone looks down on us. And she said, oh, why? Because you're responsible for like 90% of the wars in the entire world. And I was like, no, I meant because we're jerks, but okay. But she wasn't wrong though, in that it's like we put ourselves into these situations. We get involved in things. And then when we don't get involved in something, the rest of the world's like, America, where are you? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't you helping us out?
Well, nobody
out?
Was really doing much or changing their plan until 900 people died when a boat capsized between Italy and Libya.
Yeah, and that's
and
the thing is we're like...
You were seeing it on mainstream media and... On the cover of every single newspaper was the picture of the toddler that was...
Oh, yes. I was going to say that picture. God.
Dead on the shores.
Well, they like that's the thing is like they hate us until they need us to be their ambulance and police, which is, I mean, fair considering, like I said, we get involved in things that we shouldn't, but... At the same time, it's like everyone's always like, when's America going to come in? It's like, guys, well, we got our own stuff going on.
Many of these countries now in Europe are in a situation where they've just put their hands up. They're like, we can't take in any more people. I mean, look what was going on where they were stopping people going into England.
Yeah, like, people were swimming there.
People were going into Brussels and they were patting down every single person for any kind of money, any kind of gold or possessions, just to make up for the money that was being spent on healthcare and shelter for these people.
Yeah, and it's well. That's like I said. My one for that was Brussels / ISIS.
Yep.
Was just. I mean, ultimately, the ultimate international tragedy that is still going on is ISIS, and it's really terrifying and sad to me that there are Americans joining that organization. Mm-hmm. That there are people who. While our country is always somewhat in turmoil, but that's part of what's great about it is that it's a bunch of these different people existing in the same place who are free to argue with each other until they're weak in the knees. But it's unfortunate that, with that being said, that there are people who just, that's not enough for them, that they need to join an organization that's only goal is, for lack of a better word, terror.
Aleppo got my honorable mention. There's, as tragic as Aleppo is, and I laid this out a few weeks ago, there is a certain war is hell aspect to the story that is inevitable when you get to the point that Aleppo got to, which is you have to kill and kill and kill and kill and kill until you get the people holding that city to get the hell out. That's human history. We've seen it before.
Yep.
We're going to see it again. Ideally,
that's why no one's ever won a land war in Russia.
Ideally, you want to stop it because you can't kill the Russians and get them out.
They
just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Ideally, you want to stop it before it gets to that point. And the opportunity for us to do something to prevent Aleppo and prevent Syria disappeared 3 years ago. But for me, the absolute worst was on July 14th when Mohamed Lahoulaj Boulay drove a container truck through the crowds in Nice.
That's the one I was trying to think of when I came up with Brussels.
Bastille Day.
Killing 86 people and injuring 434. And clearly inspiring the gentleman who drove through a Christmas market in Berlin just a couple of weeks ago, killing 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with...
It's like a domino effect.
The thing about Aleppo is not going to happen here, you know, at least not for a couple of years. When we have to go in.
I hate that I just laughed when he said that.
When we have to go in and clean up Maine. But, you know, that's coming. What happened in Nice, here's a brand new style of terrorism that nobody has seen before. Go rent yourself a truck or get in a truck, kill the driver, and then drive it into a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't defend against this. This is the kind of thing
No defense.
You just can't defend against. You can do what New York did, and you block off every single intersection around Times Square with dump trucks full of sand so that nobody could get anything in there.
Well, think about the, you know,
and what do you get?
Initially think guns, knives, this is the way that they're doing it, wielding axes to kill people. And there's so many situations, I think, in your lifetime or even just your year that you're in a large crowd of people that is completely open to the streets, whether you're at a parade or some sort of community gathering, that's very realistic what could happen. And again, it's not just over the pond, it's not just over there, it's something that could happen here.
Yes, and well, that's as you were getting at, like, that's what's so terrifying is we're used to thinking of terrorist acts or just hateful acts in general as being with weapons that we like, we hear the word, we think weapon. When you think truck or van, you just think like oh, you're bringing a bunch of stuff somewhere. Yeah. You don't. Mm-hmm. It's,
you
it's
don't
such
see it. You didn't see it as a weapon.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a commonplace, approachable, safe thing
yeah.
that you would never consider to be something that could not only accidentally kill one person, like then maybe that's the most you ever think of it as, but intentionally kill 10 and injure hundreds.
And this ultimately is the legacy of ISIS, is they've come up with all of these wonderful new DIY methods of terrorism that are going to outlive ISIS and be adopted by the next set of lunatics that comes along. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. It is the best of 2016 tonight, and we'll be back with more of 2016's best right after this.
You're buying a pork roast or pork chops? This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a few suggestions. Most stores carry a wide selection of pork cuts, so shop carefully and select the one that suits your needs best. High-quality, fresh pork will be grayish pink or darker in color. Also be sure the meat is firm and not pale, soft, or watery. And consider the amounts of fat and bone when you compare costs per pound of different pork cuts.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, babe, but that was last year. This year, I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't believe it.
You don't? Well, pick up on this, child. Happy New Year, baby. Happy New Year to you. the whole year through.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Airy. I'm Lisa Nichols, here with special returning guest host Shay Spillane, here with you every Wednesday night from 7 to 9. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. And we continue, and you might want to give your input on what was good, what was bad, but we're trying to give you, instead of the worst of 2016, we're making light of it and giving you the best of 2016 in our annual year wrap-up show. So we left off Derek with best example of poor sportsmanship. My award this year goes to, can't be anybody other than Ryan Lochte.
It's Ryan Lochte, right?
Yep.
It's gotta be Ryan Lochte.
Behavior
America's
at the Olympics.
Sweetheart.
Now, you know,
oh man,
the Olympics,
that security video.
The Summer Olympics, always kind of that break in the summer, and it's 3 weeks to kind of deflect from what's going on in the world.
Stay up until 2 a.m. watching weird sports.
Celebration
which
of
I did.
Sports.
Like, I totally care about people diving into stuff.
Yeah.
International friendships. You know, we wanted all this, and what we got was Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, who with three other members of the U.S. swim team, may or may not have peed on the inside of the gas station convenience store.
Yeah, so, but as you recall, so Ryan Lochte reported that he and three teammates were pulled over and robbed at gunpoint and by men that were bearing police badges. Story obviously went viral very quickly. It was all over mainstream media because, you know, thanks to his celebrity, it brought his name forward. And look, this is exactly what we said was wrong with Rio. This is what's happening at the Olympics. These poor athletes.
I feel bad for me. Oh, poor Rio.
Well, after this grew into this international scandal, Brazilian police quickly discredited the account. Turns out that the swimmers, they vandalized a gas station. Lochte kicked in a door, and the people that were trying to rob him apparently were the security guards asking for the money to pay for the damages.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it does speak to his leg strength that he was.
And he then goes.
Yes, now he.
He then goes and has an exclusive interview with Billy Bush where he lies about this.
America's other sweetheart.
And we get the first big fake news story of the year.
That honestly looks like an episode of Maury.
You know what makes me more mad? He called his mom. He lied to his mom. You're not a good person if you lie to your mom.
I was going to say, lie to the press, lie to our government.
Yeah.
But lying to your mother.
Shameful.
Now, I think my mom's listening right now. Mom, I would never, probably never lie to you.
Avoiding a lifetime swimming ban, he, I guess, mustered up this lame apology for, quote, for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events. He's now serving 10 months suspension. I would like to keep him out of the water and his stupid silver hair away from TV.
You know, it's really...
Go away.
Yeah. I mean, for creating the first big fake news story of the year, for involving Billy Bush, for perpetuating the stereotype of the ugly American.
Yeah.
There are so many reasons why...
It's precisely what I thought.
There are so many reasons why Ryan Lochte deserves it. But, you know, just for a little change of pace, this was an epic year for idiots on the field. And one of the greatest was during the Monday Night Football game, all the way back in week one, the second game of the doubleheader, between the San Francisco 49ers and the Los Angeles Rams. This was one of two games San Francisco would win this season. And in the middle of the game, somebody ran out on the field, prompting Kevin Harlan, who was part of the B team calling the game that night, to say this.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
coming.
They got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call.
That's pretty much what was going on in that game. That's pretty much what was going on in that game.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
All of my drunken escapades. Shay and I have had plenty of them.
Oh, yes. I have had this girl.
She's had to carry
me. I have piggybacked this girl through Faneuil Hall many a time.
In stilettos, yes. If our...
Well, darling, it's a service I'm happy to provide, so it's fine.
If any of our nights...